This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And if you want a chance to win tickets to MSU in Eastern Michigan on Saturday, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517. Right now, let's talk a little football. Talk with a good friend of mine and formerly one of the best offensive linemen in the National Football League and now an ESPN correspondent, works for the ESPN. Lomas Brown is with us and talk Detroit Lions football. So let's bring in Lomas Brown and talk a little football this afternoon. Lomas, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Earl. How you doing?
Hey, doing good. Yeah, looking forward to talking with you. And yeah, sort of wanted to ask you, how do you think Mikal LeSure is going to do when he's played? You know, this will be his first NFL game. He's got to be nervous, doesn't he?
Oh, man, yeah. I know the butterflies are really turning in his stomach, and I'm really excited to see how he plays. I remember as a rookie, he came out to one of my big men camp his first year. Real personable guy, big fella. You know, got a lot of size on him. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing him run. And hopefully he's over that Achilles injury, and hopefully he'll be able to contribute to our running game because we need it, Earl.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. And I just figured that, you know, he's such a big guy, and he says, and everything I've read is he's really been working hard, and so he's looking forward to himself to coming out there and putting on a good show for the fans.
Yeah, and again, I know he has to be anxious. I mean, you know, going into your second year and really not have played, you know, it's probably nervous energy that he has because, you know, he doesn't know what to expect. But after a couple of hits, he'll be all right. He should be able to settle in, get a feel. I think the biggest thing with him, you know, more so than his running or anything else, is going to be the way he pass protects when he's in there and he's asked to pass protect. For a rookie, and he's pretty much still a rookie, that's the biggest thing at the running back position is their pass protection. So hopefully, you know, he'll be good in that area too.
Hey, now, how good is the Detroit Lions offensive line? I know you're a lineman, so you can give us some good insight on the Detroit Lions offensive line.
I think we got a very capable offensive line. For what they're asked to do, I think they're pretty good. You know, again, it's going to be what they're going to be asked to do. Are we going to have an offense where we drop back 40, 50, 60 times a game and throw the ball? Or are we going to be more of a balanced offense with Mikal LeSure where we try to mix the run in there? You know, you can see from their last game, the San Francisco game, Scott Linehan really made an effort to run the ball. You know, they tried to run the ball. But I think more so than, you know, the balance of running and passing the ball is, when they pass it, they just have to spread it out a little bit more because to me right now, you know, it's either going to Calvin, you're either going to try to get it to Calvin, or it's going to a tight end. You know, other than that, Nate Burleson, they hadn't really utilized him. Titus Young hadn't really been utilized. You know, so, and the backs out of the backfield hadn't really been utilized. So, you know, hopefully they'll be able to mix it in a lot more and add some more variation to that offense so it can loosen things up a little bit more.
Yeah, one thing that I've always wondered, you know, I think, I don't know if you know the answer to it, or I know you know part of the answer to it, but how difficult is it to find quality players off the waiver wire? No, everybody's always using the waiver wire, but how good are your chances to get a good player, a quality player that can help your team off the waiver wire?
Man, the only way that you really get that is if a guy just happens to fit your scheme. If it's a guy that's a guy that's been released from another team, and that scheme didn't fit him, but he happens to fit in good with your scheme. That's the, I mean, every once in a while you might luck up, but for the most part, I think that's what it is. It's, with the free agents, to me, it's taking them and fitting them to your scheme, if they fit into your scheme, to me. And so I think, yeah, you can have some success out there, but they have to fit your scheme. They have to be able to come in and either fit the Scott Linehan system on offense, or they have to fit the Gunther Cunningham system on defense. But they have to be able to fit your team, I think, when you get a guy off free agency like that.
Okay. Hey, we got a question for you from one of our callers, Victor from Lions. Victor, how you doing?
Well, Miss, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
All right. I used to love it. I'm blind. I used to listen to the games when you played on the radio, man, and it's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
What I think the Lions need to work on is special teams, especially like punt returns. I think that would help the offensive line a lot to create a short field instead of them having to work with a long field all the time.
I you know what, and I agree with you, and that's something that actually hadn't been talked a lot about. But you can figure with a guy like Hammonds back there, we should be getting a lot more out of our return games. I know the kickoff returns now, that they moved them up, pretty much all those are out of the end zone. But you're right, we have to be able to flip the field position, and that's the best way, you know, and the most explosive way of flipping the field position is with our punt return. So we need to get more out of them. You're definitely right about that, and they haven't talked about that a lot.
Nobody ever does, and it seems like that's an area that should be looked at.
You're right. You're
so stick a word in the Lions coaching staff here, buddy.
All right.
Okay. Have a great day. Okay. Good talking to you guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Victor. And give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870-355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. And we have a question about the officials. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, I got to say something, man. They got a $1 billion industry, and they got these phony referees in there, and they don't seem to be doing a really poor job organization all the way through these games. When are we going to get this settled? You mean to tell me all the money these people got, they can't give these referees a little bit more, right?
Well, it's really not about money. I mean, they're talking about the pension. They've already given them a pension. The league wants to deny them the pension that they've already had given them over the years. So that's the big bone of contention. You know, they like more a little bit more money, sure. But you know, it looks like the league is standing firm on this. So I don't know. I know, Lomas, you don't know. I know. I don't know when it's going to be settled. But you know, eventually they'll have to settle it sooner or later.
I feel the same way that caller feels, too. It is just ridiculous that they – and the thing that bothers me the worst, Earl, is that it's not even the top officials.
Yeah.
They couldn't get the top college officials. They got the officials that now you see the scandal today, really not the scandal, but you see the thing going out where they said that the one official – said that he needed LeSean McCoy to help him with his fantasy team. You know, it's just all these things. When you get lower-level guys like that, guys that probably were sitting on their couch cheering for you, now they're refereeing an NFL game. The NFL should, like I said before, they should be ashamed of themselves when they harp about safety, safety, safety. And then you got officials out there that the game is obviously – too fast for them. They should have been had this problem rectified.
Yes, because you know that's one thing. It should be because you know you bring up a good point about safety, and you know the NFL had said they're going to be more trying to be more vigilant about keeping players safe, and you know it seems like they've totally gone the other way. It's hard to believe a lot of things that Roger Goodell is saying these days, isn't it?
It sure is. I mean, you know, even when you look at this bounty, the thing with the Saints and them getting overturned on that, and now they're talking about the evidence that he brought up about this coach saying that was done a day before. Man, it's just it's just all kind of craziness. And you know, you look at the concussion lawsuit that us NFL, the former NFL players in, you know, now they're finding out that the NFL has had evidence since the 70s.
Wow.
Since the 70s about this, you know, and never shared it with the players. And to me, I'm telling you, Earl, if somebody would have came to me and said, Lomas, you know, if you play this game, you know, you could have some effects from this game, head trauma, whatever, you know, whatever the terms are that players are dying for, killing themselves over, you know, you can have this condition. You know where else? I wouldn't have did it no different. I still would have turned around and played 18 years in the NFL because I love the game. Most players would have did that.
Sure.
But to me, for them not to disclose the information they have, you know, they're liable. They're liable.
Yeah, did you add to that lawsuit? Was it a concussion law? I think I read somewhere where you added your name to one of the lawsuits.
Yeah, I'm in the concussion lawsuit. You know, I'm a plaintiff in that. It's over 3,500 ex-NFL players in that lawsuit. So that's a lawsuit that that's going on with them. And again, like I said, you know, it was just full disclosure. You know, they're just finding out all this evidence. You know, all this stuff is coming out now that, you know, this has been a big issue. And safety is supposed to be the issue in this game. You know, then you turn around and you bring in replacement referees. And like I say, not even the top referees you bring in.
Yes, it is a shame. It is very tragic. Hopefully this issue will get settled soon with the referees. Hopefully they'll come to some kind of agreement. But, you know, it's hard to figure out why the NFL does what – I mean, they don't need the money. They're making so much money. It's surprising that they're doing this because they got money hands over foot.
But when you have money, Earl, guess what comes with money is power.
Yeah.
And that's what you try to exhibit all the time, and that's what the NFL does. I mean, they're a power broker. I don't even look at them as far as the money. You look at it, you just look at the power of the NFL. You know, look at just think about this, Earl. You can't, I'm going to say it anyway. You can't say Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. They got it so locked down, so they have to call it the big game, or they have to call it the championship game until the week of the Super Bowl or 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. Then you're allowed to say the Super Bowl. That's just crazy to me. I mean, that's exhibiting power. You know, they got that type of power where they got the Super Bowl trademark, and you can't say it or use it. So, you know, you're dealing with a power broker. You're not just dealing with an entity. You're dealing with a power broker.
Yeah, now, you work at ESPN. How does the NFL network impact it? I assume they have a lot of power, too, since they're owned by the NFL.
Absolutely. I mean, the ESPN kind of reminds me of the NFL. You know, it's about the ESPN moniker and the dot, you know, they're a power broker too. I mean, they're the worldwide leader in sports, you know, so they got, you know, they target, I think it's 200 and some odd million sports fans, you know, in the world. You know, so that's the type of numbers that they're looking at doing and the type of influence that they have. So, of course, they're a power broker, too. You're absolutely right, just on a different level. And they're just using the media, you know, instead of using the backs of players.
Okay. Hey, Lomas, I want to thank you for joining me. You know, it's always a pleasure talking with you. We'll definitely have you back on again real soon to talk more sports with you and talk Detroit Lions football. And hopefully they can get back on the winning track this week.
Absolutely, Earl. Thanks for having
okay.
me.
Okay. Thank you, Lomas. We'll talk to you later, my friend.
All right.
Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Lomas Brown talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Romney writes off the 47% and does damage control on Fox, while the president pays a visit to Letterman and Bill O'Reilly and Jon Stewart get set to rumble in the air-conditioned auditorium. I'm Neil Conan. Ken Rudin, the political junkie, joins us with the 47% fallout and a look at Senate races across the country. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Windy today and mostly sunny, the high 66 degrees. Overnight, a low of 50 with a chance of rain. It'll be partly sunny Thursday with a slight chance of rain, the high tomorrow 68. And on Friday, the high will stay in the upper 60s and rain is likely Friday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you want a chance to win tickets to the Michigan State-Eastern Michigan game, give us a call at 353-5000. That's 353-5000. Area code 517 for your chance to win tickets to the Eastern Michigan-Michigan State game coming up on Saturday. So call and register for your chance to win. Well, let's talk a little of health and physical fitness with our good buddy Steve Morgan. Hey, Steve, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing real good today, Earl, on this beautiful, beautiful fall day, huh?
Yes, it is. It's a beautiful day, and hopefully, well, as we talked about earlier, you say more people are getting outside and working out on their own. They're not going to gyms these days. So,
I'm watching it today, as a matter of fact. I was in Holt, Michigan, and then from Holt, I drove up Cedar Street, and it was really bustling, really bustling. So I'm not even downtown today. With the roaming map van today, looking for the healthy and fit crew from Lansing. No, I'm just kidding. No, but we are in the van today. We had to do some delivery. So we are in the van looking for people that are outside exercising. So we'll give you a thumbs up.
Yeah, what do you find more that people are doing more that they're going? You said you wanted to bring me some of the things, information that what are people doing these days that aren't going to the gyms?
The tapes have been enormous. Uh-huh. The Insanity P90X and Insanity and the Turbo Jams and the Turbo Fits have been just blowing off the shelves, and the orders online are sky high. Last month alone, Turbo Jam sold an additional 3.5 million copies, 5 million hits on the infomercial. And that program has been around for a while, so... To see that happening, that points to a definite home training or a home gym trend, where people, because you're not ordering the Turbo Gym and going to the gym. Mm-hmm. You know, if you order the Turbo Gym, you do it at home. That's why you ordered it.
Yes. Do you find more and more people are doing this, are working out at home and not going to the gym? I guess you could say they're saving that money and just investing in home equipment.
Well, it's not so much Steve Morgan's opinion. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at statistics at IHRSA.org, and IHRSA is the International Health and Racket Sport Association, and for the first time, health club numbers have gone down in 2011, for the first time in over 26 years.
Yeah, so we're seeing that change.
I mean, now it's marginal, mind you, but see, what's coming up is the different types of gyms. Mm-hmm. That are available, the CrossFit gyms, the sports specific gyms, the Olympic lifting, the virtual type of gym where you're doing more than just sitting on a piece of equipment watching TV. Those gyms are coming more and more into vogue. And what happens is those are more type A personality gyms. You have to be a go-getter. You have to seek that gym out. So as a consequence, those are the types of people that also train at home. And as a cross-demographic group, that's how they're marketed to. So...
Yeah, so it's definitely the world is changing as we speak. Definitely a changing, that's for sure, in that market, in the market of working out and physical fitness. You know, a person asked me the other day about just working out with the weights, and I was telling them about working out with free weights and things like that. Do you get much of that now, people working out and working out with free weights, or do you find people are really doing out more work on the machines or with the machines?
Like I said, the movement right now is, last year alone, Earl, with the CrossFit, there were over 75,000 people in the United States that competed in the CrossFit Games. Hmm. just in the United States alone. And it's a global competition. So what you're going to see is that these types of activities can be done at home. So you're going to see more free weights, more body weight activity, more calisthenics type of work. They're even getting into more swimming now to round it out, which I completely disagree with because you have triathlons already.
Yeah.
You don't need to be redundant with an activity that should primarily be a land-based or land-only-based activity. The swimming, you know, they have ultra-endurance events already for swimming. They also have triathlons for swimming. Swimming is covered. And they didn't need to add that, but they've been doing that each and every year with the CrossFit and other competitions that are out there. The one, the mutter. I forget what it's called, a red mutter or something like that. It's a running competition. All you have to do, everyone that's listening, if you're interested in any type of extreme competition, is just Google extreme endurance competitions or Google extreme strength competitions and a whole host of types of competitions and things that have come up that you really probably are unaware of, and they can be beneficial in terms of motivating you extrinsically to train for something.
Yes. Now, what about those people that train, Steve, to do you know, some of these events for their healthy sake? You know, do you find more people? I guess just basically, you know, like we said earlier, you know, they're working out more, you know, out in not in a gym, but just out in, you know, in outside or wherever they're working at. Mm-hmm. Do you find more people doing that way, and is that beneficial, or can you? Oh, because you, I know you work with a lot of athletes, so
sure.
What about for those people? Do you find just you're getting more athletes in the gyms, and just not as many just regular people, say like myself coming through a gym, or are you getting more athletes that, who need to work out for a specific event?
Well, locally, I can't back it up with any numbers, obviously, mm-hmm. but just on the anecdotal basis, I've heard and I've seen and witnessed more high school athletes participating in structured programs throughout the Tri-County area. That's for certain. And that's coming directly from the horse's mouth. You know, the coaches, yeah. parents, and other athletes are telling me that so-and-so is working out. So, and that's at a high. There are programs in the area that never used to strength and conditioning that are now strength and conditioning in the summer. There are sports that didn't used to do anything that are now doing things from an organized standpoint. So you don't have to be that one individual on a team now that goes to train after your practices, you know, and things of that sort. So, yeah, I know for a fact that on that level that it is increasing high school-wise. Collegiately, it's almost a no-brainer at this point. I don't care what sport you play on the collegiate level. If you're not strength and conditioning, you're just participating.
Yes, I know we find more and more people, especially in college today. I mean, a few years ago, you might not have gotten that numbers. But today,
right.
Yeah, just everybody strength does some kind, some aspect of strength training.
Okay, now that's being said, Earl, that's wonderful. I love where we're going here because that being said, this is one of the most difficult aspects of my job is to try to explain to individuals why – If everybody's doing it, how come one team is so much more dominant than another? Hmm. The same way, you know, one bank is better than another. The same way why anything is better than another. There are some people that take it to the nth degree, that study more,
yeah.
that pay more particular attention to details, that care a little bit more and have a little bit more devotion to their craft. And they get a superior product time and time again. Am I not mistaken?
Yes, and you're right, because nobody, as we know, come to find out, you know, no one does everything the same way. I mean, for every you know, sport in the college level, every sport to change. Traders do their muscles, train their muscles differently.
Mm-hmm. Their selection of exercises,
yes.
they vary. The types of phases that they go through, their philosophical beliefs. And how the body is going to advance in that particular sport may be different. And the coach's disposition with regards to strength and conditioning may be different than another coach's disposition. And even though everybody wants athletes to be primarily the same, which is injury-proof and performance-oriented. There's multiple ways and a multitude of intellects trying to decipher that and make it the best in their particular sport. And right now, on the collegiate level, I would say Alabama's strength and conditioning coach over the last 3 years has been pretty much putting on display some of the best physical specimens that the collegiate football has to offer. Year in and year out, he just keeps putting them out there.
He does a great job, and he has athletes that are very dedicated into the gym and very dedicated to doing the job. That's the thing. As you and I know, everybody won't be a strict dedicated athlete. Some will love it, some won't love it. Some will take to lifting, and some won't take to lifting. Some will just go through the motions, as we say.
That's right. But even those individuals, you have to appeal to their intellect and to their sense of team and their obligation to the organization. Is that you must train and condition. You are under contract. If you're here on scholarship, if you're signed, we're paying you $1.5 million a year. If you're volunteering, you must train and condition. You will only be at your best if you do so. You will only be at your best mentally, physically. If you train and condition, the discipline is what gets you there, the compliance of a program. And this is what the good organizations understand that. Look at San Francisco and look at their linebacking crew. Yeah. Yeah. You think anybody trains in that group other than just football?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
They probably all train together. You can look at the way that they're all built. They look like three brothers, you know what I mean? Like they're Donnie Lamb Jam and Ham Jones or whatever.
Yep.
You remember that crew?
Yep.
That takes some of the listeners back, doesn't it? I know Bert's sitting over there. He knows Johnny Lamb and Jam.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, so guys, they do. If you work out together, that can build camaraderie and chemistry and everything.
And it lets you know, Earl, who is on the field with you. If this guy trains with you, and if you guys train together and you go to failure together, then you know that you'll go to failure together on the field. He won't let you down. He's got your back. Mm-hmm. And that, you know that now. But if you get out there and you know a guy, he's only got about 75%, you're going to try to get to a spot that you can't get to, and you possibly can get hurt because you're trying to cover for somebody else's inadequacy.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, I know one area that we haven't mentioned them today, but, the growth in women's bodybuilding has really gone through leaps and bounds, hasn't it?
Well, there's so many different things now. I mean, it's not so much the bodybuilding. Now you have the figure and you have bikini, which is, just a little bit different than the Hawaiian tropic stuff that it used to be. It's more of a crowd pleaser. But those women, they're training. That's the one thing that they all do. They all train, and so I'm all for it. The men's bodybuilding is still relatively, at the top of all physique competitions, but it's closely followed by the CrossFit now. The CrossFit type of stuff is what's taking over, is where people want a good physique, but they want that physique to be functional, for crying out loud. It doesn't do any good to take a bunch of steroids and lay on the couch and tell everybody I can't do anything because I'm trying to reserve my calories for growth. That's not exactly exciting or stimulating to you, to your friends or your spouse or anyone that's remotely connected to you. So what everybody's doing now is they really want to get up and get moving, doggone it. They want to get on a bike, Earl. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to bike to St. John's. If there was a trail, people would bike there, I mean, people want to be able to do things. They go running. They go walking. This is what's taking over. You need the strength to do all those things, and that's where I'm trying to push the hard sell. Is now that we got everyone up and they're trying to get moving, of course, I use that term everyone loosely, but now that we have people up and moving, it's very important that you get into best shape. You need to be strong to do these things, or else you're going to start to break down, and then it's going to deter your efforts.
Yeah, Steve. Now, one thing I know we haven't talked about in a while, we used to talk about it a lot, but where is performance-enhancing drugs now? Do you find that it's lessened a lot more, or do you find maybe it's still the same? How much do you know about these? I guess there's a new form, a lot of new forms of PEDs.
Well, I mean, and once again, you got to take that with a grain of salt. Just because a guy stamps a new supplement out and he says that it's a PED, you know, we have no Federal Drug Administration testing on any of this stuff. There's nobody testing it. So this new guy, Bill Phillips, for example, who's the founder of EAS, he said the EAS products were the best. So, is this because Bill Phillips said so? Yeah, and then Bill Phillips, it's odd. Bill Phillips, his scientists say that his products are the best. You know, there's no independent labs that actually test this stuff and rank it.
Yeah.
So to me, for when they say anything's a PED, whether they say it loosely or they mean it or not, there is no performance-enhancing drug. I don't buy that. Food is the performance-enhancing drug. You know, you take something, and there's always there's a reward and there's a risk. Okay, now anytime the risk outweighs the reward, and we know that there's a bona fide risk with taking these quote-unquote PEDs, it is now no longer a performance-enhancing drug by definition. It's no longer a performance-enhancing drug because the risk outweighs the reward. So you see, this is the problem I have with the general public and these so-called experts talking about this stuff. They don't have the proper disposition to go about articulating exactly what it is they're talking about. To say that protein is not a performance-enhancing drug, but creatine is, it's retarded. It is absolutely one of the most ludicrous things. Protein is not only used in AIDS patients to help them to maintain lean body mass, it's used in underweight babies as well. So that is the pure definition of performance. It's to help one. It's to increase one's ability to be stronger, to do other things. And so these things that are coming out, I tell my kids and any coach that talks to me, we don't even give it a second thought. We're eating plums. We're eating pears. We got protein coming in from chicken and poultry. We're watching our consumption of of cheese and dairy products because of the extra fat that comes from that. I mean, we're looking at common sense things that you can eat this way for the rest of your life. That's a performance enhancing drug. Is a chicken breast.
Yeah, and that's a good one.
And on that note, enjoy your day.
Yes.
And have some performance enhancing drugs at dinner today.
Yes, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
We want people to eat right and watch their you know their health, watch what they eat and you know we want them to live a long healthy life. That's what we're trying to do. All of us are trying to do.
Absolutely.
Basically.
I mean, Earl, the way Major League Baseball is going and the way the Olympic Committee is going with regards to their testing, they've already set themselves up for basically open up Pandora's box. This whole Lance Armstrong thing with regards to whether or not he used this, that, and the other thing, the man had cancer. He had a testicle amputated. He had a testicle removed, excuse me. In any other situation, his use of testosterone as a hormone replacement therapy is perfectly legal. There's nothing wrong with it. He did nothing wrong. And that's really bothering me, and it bothers a lot of people who understand how this goes. And it's a shame that they're actually, that the American Cycling Federation pushed this harder than the French. That really perturbs me. That they tried to get him disbanded. To get his stuff discredited. They tried so hard to do that. The man had cancer. Can he get a break? I mean, seriously.
It doesn't look like he's going to get one. So he gave up the fight. So, you know, I heard a lot of people say he shouldn't have given up the fight. If he's not guilty, he should have kept fighting.
And what? End up like Joe Pa? Huh?
Yeah,
you keep fighting and you try to stand for something and it kills you?
Yeah.
And then they take your name off of things and then they do this for you? I mean, come on. I mean, at some point people need to realize the quality of life. So he doesn't take the testosterone and we never have this conversation about Lance Armstrong even being considered one of the best cyclists of all time if he doesn't take it.
Yeah.
You know, and he may have even died if he didn't get his lean body mass back up. Let alone performed in a cycling event. So, you know, it's really a mute issue. To me, that's what medicine was created for, was to help those that needed to be helped. So somewhere down the line, we've lost it.
Okay. Well, Steve, you know what? We're running out of time, so.
You got it.
Yeah. Hey, want to thank you for being with me. You know, I'll have you on again. We'll talk more sports with you, talk more health and physical fitness. Okie dokie.
Okay. Well, if we can help you, give us a call over at MAP. We'll be happy to do it.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Yep.
Bye-bye. And the time now, 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
It seems everyone has an opinion on the Chicago teachers strike, but when it comes to teachers unions, how much do we really know? I'm Neil Conan. Teachers unions, myths and realities. Plus, one of the last knuckleballers in the major leagues and one of the best pitchers in baseball, the Mets' R.A. Dickey, joins us. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl with a look at the weather. Windy and mostly sunny, the high today in the mid-60s. We could get some rain tonight. Look for a low of 50 degrees. Partly sunny tomorrow with a slight chance of showers, the high 68. Friday, the high 69, and rain is likely on Friday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Now we're going to talk Michigan State football, and we're going to talk with our good friend Brian Calloway from the Lansing State Journal. If you have any questions about the Spartans, call us up, talk sports with us, talk Michigan State football with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Brian, how you doing, my friend?
I'm not bad. How are you doing?
Hey, doing good. Always a pleasure talking with you. We were out there last night talking with a lot of the players. What kind of mood do you think the players are in going into this Eastern Michigan game? I mean, it's sandwiched in between Notre Dame and Ohio State. So what do you expect from them coming up Saturday?
Well, I think the players are very motivated to, you know, kind of get that bad taste out of their mouth. I mean, I think Le'Veon Bell said it best. I mean, he's a guy that said that he doesn't want to lose again, and he wants to do everything in his power to make sure they don't lose again. And I mean, that was something that we haven't really seen out of him, with that kind of fire and desire to, you know, be kind of that vocal leader. But I mean, it definitely seemed like that from yesterday, from talking to him. So yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a business-like approach for them, and they're going to, you know, go out there and try to make a statement.
Yes, you know, they've been saying that, yeah, they want to make a statement. They want to bounce back from their poor play. I had a tendency to give Notre Dame maybe more credit than what the players are and what the fans are. You know, they were putting it all on them, and I just think you can't put it all on yourself. You have to give Notre Dame some credit because they did some very good things in that game.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame isn't a slouch. I mean, I know they haven't been, you know, the strongest program in recent years, but I mean, they have a talented front seven, and that's one of the best defenses the Spartans will face all year, likely. So, I mean, yeah, they can't place it all on themselves. I mean, Notre Dame is a good team; they have a good defense, and then at the same time, I mean, their quarterback was able to make some kind of plays, and he was able to kind of, you know, escape some of the pressure at times as well too. So, I mean, Notre Dame's not a bad team, and I mean, it's not good for them to lose that game, and I'm sure they didn't want to lose that game at all, but I mean, that's a good team right there. So, I mean, there's no fault in that.
Yes.
At the same time also, too, I mean, even with that loss, I mean, all their goals are still in front of them. I mean, that loss doesn't make or break the season. I mean, the Rose Bowl is still in front of them. I mean, the Big Ten is still in front of them as well, too. So, I mean, it could be a good loss as kind of a learning tool that, you know, they can use to, you know, build on for the rest of the year.
Yes. Now, what about Maxwell? Do you think he needs to do much proving? It seems like he's been throwing pretty well, but the receivers, as they put it on themselves, dropped a lot of balls in these last two games.
Yeah, I mean, the drops were a problem. I mean, I thought that Maxwell was, you know, fairly accurate for the most part. I mean, he was able to, you know, place some balls in places that, you know, where they needed to be, and the receivers weren't able to make plays. So, I mean, I don't think Maxwell is a problem. I know a lot of fans, you know, were quick to kind of point the finger at him, but I don't think he was necessarily the problem. And at the same time, you know, he's a first-year starting quarterback, and it's going to take him a little bit of time just to kind of develop a chemistry with these receivers. I mean, it's not something that happens overnight. And a lot of these receivers, I mean, you got to keep in mind, too, that they're in their first years as starters as well, too. I think Mark Antonio pointed it out yesterday that Benny Fowler has played more snaps these first three games here than he's played in the entire career leading up to the point. So, I mean, it's a growing process, and I mean, at the end of the season, I mean, this will be a better offense, and you won't see some of the mistakes that we saw against Notre Dame happening.
Well, I guess the question will be is, you know, can they still win games while they're still learning to play? Because they are learning to play somewhat, so that's a big question, is it, can they win games while they're still learning to play the game?
Yes, but that's why I definitely think that this Eastern Michigan game is a critical game for them on Saturday, just to kind of get things sorted out, especially, you know, when you open the Big Ten season with Ohio State the next week at home. I mean, that's going to be a huge game right there, and I also agree that Ohio State will probably, you know, be one of the best teams that they face the remainder of the stretch here, too. So that's why this EMU game is very critical for them, just to kind of fix some of those mistakes that they made on Saturday and just get everything ready for the conference slate.
Hey, Brian, when you look at the Big Ten overall, you know, we know it, they say, everyone's saying around the country that the Big Ten is not that good. It's been taking a lot of hits. How do you see the Big Ten this year?
I mean, the conference is off to kind of a slow start here, but I kind of agree with some of what the coaches are saying, too. Just kind of wait till the end of the year to kind of analyze, you know, how good the conference is. I mean, if you look at it a couple of years ago, I mean, Michigan, you know, they lose to Appalachian State, which was a pretty bad loss. But, I mean, they went on to have a pretty successful season that year. So, I mean, I think you kind of have to wait and see at the end of the season just to see how kind of everything shakes out. But, I mean, I think the Big Ten will be fine. And there'll be teams there at the end. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see how everything shakes out just to kind of evaluate the conference as a whole.
Okay. Give us a call. Talk sports with us, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Brian, I know I'm a little bit surprised, have been surprised this year, that we haven't got a much stronger pass rush from the front line players on the MSU defense. Has that surprised you that the front line hasn't been able to put much pressure on opposing teams' QBs?
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of surprise me. I mean, they've been able to kind of pressure some guys and affect them. Like against Central, I mean, it didn't show up in the stat sheet as far as sacks, but I mean, it kind of affected the passing game. But yeah, I mean, that's something that has been surprising to me, just especially with the so few amount of sacks. I mean, they only have two this season, you know, one against Central and one against Notre Dame. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's an area that, you know, they're working to kind of address there.
Yes, because that's something that they need to, if they can, get that straightened around quickly, if they can get some more pressure on the opposing team's QB. And the other thing, they have done a pretty good job stopping the other team from running, though, haven't they?
Yes, they have. And, I mean, the defense, I don't think it's been a problem at all. I mean, and as far as the pass rush, I mean, I think they might miss Terrell Worthy a little bit.
Yes.
In that regard as well, too, definitely. But, I mean, the defense, I mean, they haven't really – they've been a strong point for this team. I mean, if you look at the Notre Dame game, I mean, Notre Dame went 1-for-14 on third downs in that game on Saturday. So, I mean, that's pretty good. And also, I mean, the only really bad thing from that game was just allowing Notre Dame to kind of march down that field after they were pinned down inside their 5-yard line in that fourth quarter. I mean, that was probably the only negative thing right there, not being able to come away with some of those interceptions when they could have got those.
One of our callers just called in and wanted to know your thoughts on Notre Dame going to the ACC.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it's an interesting move. I guess it's something that they were kind of working on for a while there, so I just hope it doesn't really affect any of those rivalries that they have with the Midwest teams, like a Michigan State, Michigan, and even Purdue, who they seem to play all the time as well, too. But, I mean, Michigan State, Notre Dame has been a longstanding rivalry that's produced many memorable moments, according with the Little Giants and several other moments before that. So I just hope that that move doesn't really affect those rivalries. I know that Notre Dame will be playing 5 ACC teams a year.
Yes.
So, I mean, their schedule, that almost takes up half of their half their schedule right there. So I just hope that they find a way just to kind of continue some of these rivalries that they've kind of built with the Midwest teams.
Yes, I think that they'll probably have to go to a rotating basis for the majority of the Midwestern teams, because you know they're going to keep USC on the schedule every year. They play Stanford just about every year, and they play Navy pretty consistently every year. And, Michigan State, Purdue will probably go on a rotating basis from now on out pretty soon.
Yeah, that's what I would think, too. But I think Michigan State has a good chance to kind of stay on that schedule just because of the long-standingness of the rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but like you said, it will be kind of interesting to see what happens once they officially start that ACC schedule and just to see how things work out with scheduling with Michigan State.
Yeah, because it definitely helps them. I mean, all the other programs for Notre Dame, it helps all of the other programs for sure to be affiliated with a conference like the ACC. So I think the Notre Dame really came out smelling like a rose in this deal with the ACC.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was always wondering, you know, and it's always been out there wondering if they would join the Big Ten, but it seems like they got a good deal for themselves with the ACC and they're able to kind of maintain their football independence and, you know, with NBC and that network
right.
as well, too. So it's a good deal for them.
Yes, because, they wanted to keep their football independence, and it would have been hard for them to do that in the Big Ten. In the Big Ten, you've got to share every team. They have to share all their money equally among all the teams. And, of course, Notre Dame didn't want to do that. They wanted to keep all the money from their NBC contract. So that basically took them out of the loop for joining the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Hey, when we look at this Michigan State, Eastern Michigan game coming up, Eastern's 0-3, hasn't won a game yet. They've been struggling all year, giving up a lot of points. How do you see this game playing out? Do you see another massive win? Because Michigan State hasn't won, you know, any games other than the Central Michigan game. They won that big. So you might see, two pounding up, on two MAC teams.
Yeah, I think this game will be, Zach, pretty much like that Central Michigan game, but maybe a little bit larger of a deficit there. I mean, I think this Michigan State team has that bad taste in their mouth, and they kind of want to get that out of their mouths. And, you know, unfortunately, Eastern has to be the team to come in for that. And, you know, Eastern, and they had a good year last year, went 6-6 under Ron English, a former Michigan assistant. But this year, it's kind of been struggles. I mean, they lost to FCS school, Illinois State, in week two. So they've also struggled with turnovers as well this year, too. So they're not going to be – they're pretty much on the level of a Central Michigan team. So, I think the games are going to be very similar.
Yes. Coach told us that they're going to be working on themselves this week. They're going to do everything for themselves to improve, and they're not going to be concerned with how Eastern Michigan plays, but they're just concerned about how Michigan State plays. So what will you be looking for to see, and can you gauge improvement no matter what the score is? How would you try to gauge improvement from this game?
I mean, I think you're getting this look and see, you know, who kind of steps up in certain situations. And I know that, you know, Coach D'Antonio did say, you know, they will have some tough personnel decisions to make. And, I mean, this could be a good game to see how certain players respond in certain situations. I mean, maybe we'll see a little bit more of Aaron Burbridge and Garrett Kings Jr. at wide receiver just to kind of see a little bit more of what they bring. Because, you know, they only played in the fourth quarter of the Central game. And we saw Kings in on a couple of plays, and he got, you know, a reception and a carry against Notre Dame, but maybe we'll see a little bit more of them, and maybe we'll see a little bit more of the Anthony Arnett in this game, just to kind of see, you know, what other playmakers are out there. Because, you know, D'Antonio pointed out after the game Saturday, and even again on yesterday, that, you know, they're kind of looking for more explosive plays, both on offense and defense. So maybe they'll mix and match some things around here just to kind of see what can give them those explosive plays.
Yes, because they haven't had hardly any explosive plays during these three games that they've played. So they really need to see something. They want to see something from Maxwell, from the receivers, even from the running game. They want to see Le'Veon Bell get back to having some explosive plays from that first game. He hasn't had really a strong game since that first game. So it's really bad. It's really bad information. Are good bad for Eastern Michigan coming in here this time behind the three games. State's 2-1 and looking to really pound someone and get, like you say, get that bad taste out of their mouth. That's the question. Do you think they're going to probably you think we might see some overkill as they try to really put a bum rush on Eastern Michigan?
Oh yeah, definitely. And just another thing too. I mean, also they'll probably be looking at the old line too. You know, Fofanoli, you know, out for several weeks with the injured foot there. So, I mean, trying to see what kind of combinations work well in his absence as well, too. So, Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that they're pretty motivated this week, and we'll put a impressive showing on against Eastern Michigan.
Okay. Hey, Brian, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and we'll talk more at the game coming up on Saturday, buddy.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. And that's Brian Callaway from the Lansing State Journal talking sports with us, talking Michigan State football right here on AM 870. Well, you know, we were at the press conference yesterday, and we heard Mark D'Antonio speak about the changes, that there might be some changes coming in the MSU offense and defense.
Yeah, I think what we have to do is we have to make some decisions, who's going to get the reps and who's going to get the opportunities to play. And, you know, we need to just force some situations in there, because you can't rep them all. You can't take eight guys and play eight guys in the game. You can probably play six or five. And so you've got to make some tough decisions. So those decisions have to be sort of laid out this week in practice, looked at, evaluated, and we'll do those things as we move forward.
Yes, that's what they're going to have to do. Be some changes made. And, of course, he hasn't told. We probably won't find out what the changes are until game day. We some of us might find out a few of the changes before then, but more than likely we'll find out all the changes. If there is any changes, they might just make, hopefully, they'll probably try to make the other players play better that have been playing all along. Just hopefully they'll take their game up a notch or two. But we'll have to wait and see on that one. And we also had a chance to talk with Benny Fowler, and Benny Fowler's talking about what he's looking for from all the wide receivers and the rest of his team.
I want us to dominate this week. I want us to separate ourselves. I want the receivers to separate themselves. I want every receiver to catch a pass. I want us getting vertical with the ball, making the big play. I want us to have great blocks on the outside for Nick, Larry, and Le'Veon. I just want a complete game from the offense.
Yes, that's what he's looking for, a complete game, and hopefully they'll have a complete game coming up, that's for sure. And also, we had a chance to talk with Deion Sims, and Deion Sims says they want to be better prepared for the upcoming opponent. Oh, okay. And, well, we just talk a little more sports with you right here on AM 870 WKAR. Just a couple of minutes left in today's show, and we'll talk a little bit more with you on AM 870. Give us a call. Talk a little sports with us right here on 355-9527. If you want a chance to win tickets to the MSU Eastern Michigan game, give us a call at 353-5000. That's 353-5000. Area code 517 for your chance to win tickets to Michigan State Eastern Michigan coming up Saturday. Game time is 3:30. So that's the kickoff time. So you should be there. It's going to be a good game for you to watch, especially if you want to watch a Michigan State win. We'd all be shocked. Everybody would be shocked if Michigan State would somehow lose to Eastern Michigan. So we're all looking forward, basically, that more than likely they've got a win over the Eastern Michigan, as what the Eagles, as they are called. Used to be the Hurons, and now they're called the Eagles, right here on AM 870 WKAR. But we want you to, just continually spread the word around. Tell everyone you know, all your friends, all your neighbors. You can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. If you've never called before, we ask that you become a first-time caller. Call us up in the afternoons right here on AM 870 WKAR to talk sports with us. We want to thank you for listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock. Right here on AM 870 WKAR. We want you to spread the word around to everyone you know. You can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. Make sure you have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening, and I'll be back to talk more sports with you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow right here on WKAR.
From NPR. Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.